Okay, so we are in the middle. Is this working? Yeah, okay. So we're in the middle of a page. We are. Okay, we're in the middle of page. Let's see, 360. We're up to the Radak. Radak Pasuk Tes. We did these two psukim describing these words of psukim are very common. That the Hevesi Hashemesh Bat Soharoyim. Okay, the sun will set prematurely. And we discussed yesterday the idea of the Chageichem Le'evel, the Shireichem Le'kina, and the concept of sackcloth al the Mosnayim, and the Karcha, as Rabbi Mayevsky just mentioned. And now he mentioned V'Samtia Ke'evel Yachid, a singular mourning, which according to we had a machlekes between the Mitzudas and Rashi. Does a singular mourning mean something unique? Or does it mean, Rachman Litzlan, the evil of a ben yochit? The acharisa ki yoymar, and the acharisa, the end will be ki yoymar, like a bitter day. That itself needs some explanation. So we're up to the Radak. Radak Pasuk Tes on page 361. Page 361, Pasuk Tes. So hayabayam chub l'natei, b'yom chub l'aretz will be on the day of the Chorban. Ve'vesi shemesh v'atzoharayim. So we learned yesterday the two interpretations. What does it mean that the sun will set in midday? Either it means the loss of potential. Or we learned the other interpretation, which is much more significant, suddenness. The trauma of something unexpected. That itself can really weigh down a person's mind. Damage is enormous, of sudden loss. And here the Radak says, in the abundance of tzara, al derech shamar v'kodar alehem hayom, the day will turn dark. The word kodar means dark, like the bottom of a pot. The yoy means the time of lightness will turn. Now he doesn't really explain. The Radak is not coming to take sides on the significance of the shemesh setting at midday. He just says just some very powerful words. The abundance of tzara. Pasuk yud v'vachti v'hafachti v'samtia ke'evel yochid osim aretz le'evel godol ke'ov ha'misabel al b'no yichido. He learns like Rashi. The evel yochid means the yochid here is a ben yochid. Rachman l'tzlan shu evel godol lo kein yis'ablu yeshve aretz evel kaved ma'oid will be an enormous pain to experience the Churban of the Aretz. We're referring, of course, to the Aseres HaShvatim, the exile of the Aseres HaShvatim, and the land was taken over by the Kushim. V'achrisak yoymar, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything according to Radak. It's poetic repetition. Kaf l'onyin b'miloshoynez ki evil ha-yochid hu yoymar. The evil of Yochid is called the yoymar. Okay, let's take a look at the Malbim. Malbim Pasik Tes. The Hoya by Yamahu Vesia Lashem Shasarayim, Ata Tofasatio Shlishi Sheyis Hade, Choshech Biartsam, a third example. Bain Milamala Sheyova Hashemesh. So here he's giving three examples of tragedy. So the first example is something which happens in Shemayim. What happens in Shemayim? Sheyaveh Hashemesh v'humashal el histaklus Hashem mi'itam v'el sheyechshach mazalam. The consequence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu departing is their mazal. Their mazal becomes dark. V'hatzlochasam, that's number one. Okay, so he's giving over here some very, very interesting ideas. First of all, we're telling us that we have three different concepts are being presented, three different expressions or three different dimensions of tragedy. The first is spiritual. And the spiritual tragedy is reflected, is given, the mashal that we use for the spiritual tragedy is the sun setting. Because the sun is in Shemayim. And anything in Shemayim is spiritual. The fact that the sun goes dark, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents his stalkus HaShchina. The Shekhinah will depart. And with the departure of the Shekhinah, our success is crushed. Mazel and success. Number two, the Hachashachti L'Oretz. Second Moshel, the earth. Sheyiyah Choshech Mitzad HaOretz Mulamata. Shiya Onan Varafel, there's going to be clouds and there's going to be darkness. Shazem Yuchas Ala Oretz. What's the mashal? What's the really the nimshal? The zemashal, the oretz is a mashal for El Sheyisakel Atzasam. They will become foolish. Their plans.
Their plans.
Sheyisakel Atzasam V'yach Shil Givurasam. Their strength will. They will stumble. Their might will be stunted, and their seichel will be foolish. Ushneim yiyu shalo kiteva uchased ha'olam. It will be unusual. Not it will be shalo kidarko. In the world, people normally make good decisions. You don't need to be a spiritual person to make a good decision. And here, the eitzah, the conduct, the things that the normal daily activities that are done by regular people will not be true by the Jewish people. V'alze amar bat zoharayim biyoyim ar, and that's what it refers to. Bat Soharayim, in midday, biyoyim or a day of light. Now I don't really understand this last expression. This last expression, I see something over here.
Sense.
What?
It makes sense. The expression.
I know, but he's saying he's trying to say an idea. He starts by telling us there are going to be three dimensions to the tragedy. The first dimension to the tragedy we understand. Okay, I guess let's assume it's only two so far. We have two expressions so far. On that day, there is going to be a spiritual decline in the nation. Then it says, there is going to be a physical decline in the people. Their assets, their wealth. Well, he says over here, their seichel, their conduct, their ability to succeed naturally. Forget about spiritually. Is going to be crushed. Now we come to Pasuk Yud, is going to be the third dimension of tragedy. Next Pasuk Yud, V'afachti Chageichem, I will transform your festivals, Le'evel, B'chog Ein Misablim. We have a halacha, that you're not allowed to mourn on the festival. Al He'ovor, Rak Al Dover, Ha'hoive V'ho'asit. However, it's a very fascinating thing. You say you're not allowed to mourn in the past, but you're allowed to mourn on something which is current and the future. That's when you have the concept of continuous connotes present and the future. Let's read a little bit further. V'shirechem l'kina, ha'kina hi rak al he'ovar. He tells a fascinating idea. The kina is something which is only in the past. You only recite elegies for events that happened in the past, not for the present, and not predicting the future. V'haleisi al mosnayim sok, hasak yilbishu l'sfilo ulitzoyim al tzara hoivo o asida. Incredible ideas, he says here. Sackcloth is only put on a person's body in the present and the future. Let's read more. V'al kol resh karcha, hakarcha hu al ha'avar. A bald spot that a person puts on his head is in relation to the past. Ritzen leimar sheyikoynu v'yikruchu al ha'avar v'yeblu v'yilbushu sak al ha'hoive v'ha'osid. The sackcloth is for the present and the future. V'samtia ke'evil yochid k'misha mesabel al ben yochid shlo nishar loy ben acher sheyisnachem boy. Incredible idea. If a person has another child, so the comfort that he will find, rachmano litzlan, for losing the other child, will be in the other children who are alive. But Nachmana Litzlan, there is no other child. This is a Ben Yachid. There is no child for the parent to find comfort. So the mourning continues forever in the present and the future. He's saying a psychological idea that if a person has a loss, so he's able to cope with the loss by dwelling upon what he has, what he still has. He gives that all of his attention. But when a person loses everything, and there's nothing left over, then he has no ability to find comfort. Comfort, he's teaching us in Ayisoid, comfort comes from focusing on, at least I have something to keep me sane. There has to be some mashahu left in this world which you have tainuk from, enjoyment from, and to this object you can focus and direct all of your your kavana, all of your life, and that is where there is comfort. But if there's nothing left, everything that you have enjoyment from in this world has been taken away, then there's no possibility for there to be comfort. So Rachmana listen, they have here an evil yachid. This is the only child, and the child is lost. So that's it, there's nothing left. There's nothing left, and there is no nechama. If there is no nechama, the tsar continues in the present and continues into the future. And he's saying over here an incredible idea. He's telling us over here that by definition, the word kina is a word which refers to the past. It's not something that we think about. You're thinking about if a person right now, like you think about going to Tishah of kinas. So what are you saying, kinas? Kinas is now. Right now, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so right now we're mourning over our pathetic state of being. If we're not going to have a Beis HaMikdash, what's going to be tomorrow? As long as there's no Beis HaMikdash, so we're mourning over the future. The future is just gloom and doom. He's saying that's not correct. Kina is a term, at least in his interpretation, I never heard anyone say something like this, so it's not necessarily everyone agrees with such a concept. Kina is a term, represents an expression of pain, only in regard to the past. It's not in regard to the present and the future. Sackcloth. When do you wear sackcloth? You only wear sackcloth when there is a problem now or a problem that's coming ahead of time. There's a gezeira that you something in the future which is not pleasant. But you don't put on sackcloth to eulogize or to express pain over the past. So when you're saying kinois, you don't put on sackcloth, according to the Malbim. Being that the essence of a kina, this term and what it represents, is only in reference to the past, and sack is only in reference to the future. Purim, what do they do at the time of Purim? Sack v'efer yutzal l'rabim. Why? Because there was a gezerah that on Yud Dalit, Adar, it's going to be over. Lahashmid, Laharuk, Ulaabed. It was in reference to an event that was coming in the future. So a kina is something that you express tsar over the past. So you don't, these two things don't go together. Oil and water, they don't mix together to recite kinois when you're wearing sak v'efer. But look what it says here in the pasuk. It says, Vafachti chagechem le'evel, v'chol shirechem le'kina. All of your songs are going to turn into kinois. Ve'ha'aleisi al kol mosnaim sok. Doesn't make sense. Sok is for the past, and sok is for the future, and kina is for the past. And then it goes on to say, ve'al kol roish karcha. Karcha is also, he says, only for the past. Ve'samtia ke'evil yachid ve'achrisa. Achrisa, we have to get further, is the future. The end will be Kiyoimar, that's later, the future. So what's going on over here? You're mixing up the past with the future. That's exactly the point. The point is, the mourning is so intense. It's hoya hoyve v'yiyah. It's shaloi kiseder ho'olam. It's a very unique, novel approach to understand the Shana's pasuk. Let's finish up the words over here in the Al Kol Karcha.
The idea that it happens, his soul. It's something that happens suddenly, you don't see it coming.
Right.
And you're living in relative comfort and you're relaxed, and all of a sudden the world turns over, there's an earthquake, so to speak. In 1 second, you're just left speechless. When something is happening little by little, you feel it, you get used to it, you saw what's happening. But when it afakti is moral, that's happened in 1 second, everything just turned upside down.
Okay.
That's what the remnants is here.
So let's see the words of Yal Kol 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 Rosh Karcha HaKarcha Hu Al HaOver. Return Olam Asher Yikarinu V'Yikichu Al HaOver. V'Yevelu V'Yilbushu Sok Al HaOiveh V'HaOsit. But the Sok is for the present and the future. V'Samtiyah Kevel Yochid. K'mishim Sabal Ben Yochid Shlo Yidnish Le Ben Achal Yishis Nachim Bay. U'Moisev Yachrisa Kiyoymar K'mishim Meis Benoy Misnachim Adayin B'Mashu Atzmechai. Now here's another idea. If you don't have, there are no other children, at least find comfort in your own life. Shu Atzmechai. You're not even alive. You know that you can't even expect to live much longer. The person himself cannot expect because of the gzeiros. She'oz avda kol tikva. All hope is lost. There's no past, nothing in the past to rejoice about, and there's no future, and you can't even focus on yourself. Even that can somehow be a form of nechama. Even that is taken away. Okay, so this is a very interesting idea. Out of the Malbim, the word kina, the concept of kina is only the past, and the concept of suk is only for the future. Karcha is only for the past. You never heard these things, these ideas. Such ideas, you need proof to this. Okay, you have to really search Tanakh, study Tanakh. Every fine time you find the word kina is used in Tanakh, and to analyze, is it really true that the word kina is an expression of pain that only refers to the past? Well, that's what the Malbim is saying. It would be very interesting to study Tanakh with this idea. And every time it says in Tanakh, sak, it refers to a preparation for the future, not the past.
What about the word avil?
Avil is mourning. He doesn't say that. Avil is the past. Avil, what is the person when he's mourning? Mourning is usually the past. There's a loss in the past. Okay, there's a loss in the past. Okay, let's see over here the now do the Likud Eshas. Okay, we do the Mamari Chazal. Mamari Chazal, a lot of Mamari Chazal here. Starting back on page 360. Okay, let's try to do it quickly. Haveisi Hashemesh Bat Sohoroyim. The sun will set mid again. Page 360 on the bottom. Kinoch Navshed Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Yochanan died. Rabbi Yochanan, we know, had a very difficult life. He was the Rabban Shel Yisrael. He was the Mora, the Asra of Eretz Yisrael. How long did he live for? I think he lived for 120 years. I was learning, preparing today for Moshe Rabbeinu, part 2. There were four people who lived to the age of 120 exactly. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Akiva,
Hillel
HaZaken, and I think it was Rabbi Yochanan. If I'm not mistaken, my notes will come to a little later on. Rabbi Yochanan lived a very long life. Rabbi Yochanan was the one, the Mechaber, he was the one that had was the many people contributed to the Talmud Yerushalmi, just like the Talmud Bavli was written by Ravina and Rav Ashi. So who wrote the Talmud Yerushalmi? Rabbi Yochanan. He was the Mora de Eretz Yisrael. And who was his Chavrusa? Resh Lakish. And what happened at the end, when Rabbi Yochanan died, when Resh Lakish died, Rabbi Yochanan lost his mind. He went meshuga. He lost his mind. Oy Chavrusa, oy Misusa. He did not have someone to talk to in learning, and he lost his mind. Oy Chavrusa, oy Misusa. You need people that you can communicate with. Someone told me yesterday that he had a certain very big God who came to America. This God, he told me he was on a very, very, very exalted level of wisdom. And he was offered to be the Rosh HaYeshiva of Torah V'Das. I'm going back probably 70 years. And he said, yeah. And he wants to speak to the Talmidim. And he met with the Talmidim. And he gave them a shir. And he spoke with them in learning. And then he told, I think, Shaghal Mendelovich, he doesn't want the job. He doesn't want the job. And he never said why. He never, ever said why. So this person, who is, I think, the grandson or the great-grandson, he told me, we don't know why he didn't want the job, but the popular understanding was, you don't realize how great he was, how lofty his mind was. For him, there's nothing wrong, but it was like teaching kindergarten, Aleph Beis. So even though you're talking over here, Talmidim, who are, you know, Beis Medrash boys, but you know, in America, 70 years ago, a Beis Medrash boy in Beis Medrash, he just had no one to talk to. He was saying so she should come down to a level to teach on their level. It's a very nice thing to do, and many people did this. He told me that Rav Shlomo Hyman, he was able to do that. Rav Shlomo Hyman was able to teach on a level, a very high level, to boys that are very, very good boys, who all became Rosh Yeshivas, but they were nowhere near the level of Rav Shlomo Hyman. So Rav Shlomo Hyman had that talent that he was able to be mitzamtzein,
adjust,
but he could not adjust to this. It was just too difficult for him to come down to this level.
Develop a relationship. When I left YU, I remember one of the last things I saw was Rabbi Dulitz and Rabbi Bronspiegel. They used to talk all the time together. They were walking in the hall in the lobby, and they were always back and forth, and I saw them. And when I came back, I don't know if it was for business or something, I came back to YU. It was 30 years later, and I walked in, and my wife said to me, "Why are you laughing?"
said, because walking up and down the hall the same way I saw them left was Rabbi Dulitz and Rabbi Brownswick walking in the hall. And I went over to Rabbi Dulitz and I said, this is the way I left you 30 years ago. You were talking to Rabbi Brownswick together 30 years later. You're still walking in the hall talking to him. They just...
Unbelievable.
They were friends or whatever it is. They were talking. I'm sure it was discussing something.
There are certain people who understand each other. And when you don't have that understanding, you could have other people. Life is just not worth living. There's no one to talk to. And that's exactly what happened over here to Rabbi Yochanan. He had no one to talk to. They say about Rav Gusman. Rav Gusman was a loner. He was offered to be the Rosh Yeshiva in every yeshiva in the world, Kamat. Every yeshiva, Panovich, Tar Vadas, YU, every yeshiva wanted him to be mamish, not just to be the Rosh HaYeshiva. The end was he became Rosh Yeshiva in Lubavitch. In Lubavitch for a short time, Lubavitch. He was Rosh Yeshiva in Lubavitch. And then he didn't like it. He left. He made his own yeshiva eventually in Eretz Yisrael. He made his own yeshiva in America. So he said, when he was sitting, some event happened where he said, or I don't know who said about who. Either Rav Chutner said about Rav Gusman, or Rav Gusman said about Rav Chutner, he said, he's the only one who understands me. He's the only one I can really talk to, who really I can relate to. And that's really the lesson of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish died. Rabbi Yochanan was the Gadol Hadar, the Rav of Yerushalayim, the one who was Mechaber, the Talmud Yerushalmi. How could he lose his mind? He had no one to talk to. He had mamash no one to talk to. It's a very frightening thing. Ki noch nafshei Rabbi Yochanan posach alei Rabbi Yitzhak ben Elazar. Ka shahayim lishol ki yoyim boi Hashemesh bat Soharayim. Okay, we mentioned this yesterday. This is a very popular expression. This expression, we're looking at these people over here, is very popular because this is a very tragic expression. And Rachmana Litzon, when you hear that young people die, they always use this expression. The Shemesh set in midday. Here, he did not say this about a youngster. It is interesting that he said this about a Zokin. He was a very old man when he died, Rabbi Yochanan. Everyone agrees, not even sure exactly how old he was when he died, but everyone agrees he was very, very old. So he says, it's the day is kosher lishol kiyoyim bo ha-shemesh bat soharayim. The Chassid it says, "Hoy v'yemachu v'yevesi Hashemish b'tzaraim." V'yom Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan himself said, "Zemerames l'yoyimah shel Yoshiyahu Melech Shenerag." Okay, so this was what Rashi said. Rashi quoted this man Mechazal. This Yom Hashemish b'tzaraim. It was said in reference to Yoshiyahu. How did Rashi fataych this pasuk? It means suddenness. How did we translate the pasuk without any sources? It means a loss of potential. And what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara is not really clarifying. The Gemara is saying Rabbi Yochanan died. He was an old man. He was no youngster. So you want to say he was sudden? No. I don't know. Is it so you say he was sudden? He was 120. He was very old and he died. It was sudden? I don't know. You want to say he was very sick. He wasn't even in his right mind. So it was very sudden. And he was shivri luchos. Okay, he wasn't functioning. He wasn't functional. And yet the Gemara says it was kiyoyim shebo Hashem. It's an amazing insight. To say about a person who is not functional, okay, Rabbi Yochanan, it says in Chazal, he lost his mind. I think it even they will mispal that he should die. Does it say that? I think it says they will mispal that he should die. That's a very big topic, big controversial topic. When do you pray that people should die? There is such a thing. It comes a point in time where there's no hope and the person is just suffering. Is there such chayesha? What does that mean? And it comes a point of time you pray they should die. I think they say by Rabbi Yochanan, they pray that he should die. He lost his mother, Mavakesh Rachamim, and he died. So you can't say it was sudden. You can't say it was sudden if they pray that he should die.
He wasn't ill, you know, and he wasn't physically ill.
He wasn't functional. In those days, it was probably a lot worse. He wasn't functional,
yeah, all right.
And he was no youngster. And you can't say it was sudden. You want to say a loss of potential? I mean, he wasn't producing. I mean, he already lived his whole life. He already accomplished more than the whole humanity put together accomplished. And yet, Chazal are saying that the day that he died was kiboy hashemesh batzoharayim. It's not the expression we would apply. There are many Mamori Chazal, you can talk about the loss of the Talmud Chacham, but he was begeder shivri luchos. He was the broken luchos. He wasn't functioning. And yet, they said about him, his petira was equivalent to the shemesh setting in midday. That's a fascinating insight. that as long as they are alive today, Talmidei Chachamim, even if they're not functioning, they're not functional, there's something that we don't appreciate, we don't really appreciate, that's still here with us.
The people they left behind, it was a shock.
Was it a shock?
No, what I mean is still, you realize that you've lost something.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting. Look, you talk about Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. He was not seen in public for at least the last 10 years.
But I remember in 1962 when Aaron Kotler passed away and we were saying in Yeshiva, we were saying Tehillim. And when somebody came in to whisper to Rav Edelman that time that,
collapsed.
That he was Nifta, his head literally, you heard a thud, his head banged on the table. He just let his head drop.
Yeah, but he was functioning to the last minute. Aaron Kotler, it wasn't like Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik was out of commission for the last 10 years. You never heard. He was in isolation, and even the Lubavitcher Rebbe, we know for the last 2 years was not really.
No, of course not. He had a stroke.
2 years. He wasn't. They say he wasn't. He wasn't. I know someone. In the Young Yisrael Avenue J, he used to have yechidus, whatever he wanted with Lubavitcher Rebbe. He gave them enormous amount of money. And in reward, he walks into the Oy, and goes right into the Rebbe, whenever he wanted. And he told me, he said this publicly, in Shashal HaShudas, when he went into the Rebbe, there were no gabayim, it was total privacy. And he spoke. He said he spoke to the Rebbe like he says, like he talked. I talked to you. He spoke about mamish, like no shtick, no nothing. And then the last 2 years, they never let him in alone. Whenever he went in there to the Rebbe, on both sides of the Rebbe, there were people. There was this person here, person there. And the Rebbe didn't say a word. Normally, you know, they talk.
Yeah.
Didn't say a word, and he wasn't focused. For 2 years went on. It's more than speechless. He wasn't.
He lost his power of speech.
So who was running the show for the last 2 years? Okay, he wasn't running the show. Okay, and they say about the Satmar Rav also the last years, he wasn't running the show. I mean the Gabayim, you know, who's the guy? Who's running Klal Yisrael? The Gabai, right? The Gabai. He has his own agenda. Okay, so
what can they do? They
did a lot of those last 2 years were very turbulent years. Okay, a lot of things happened those 2 years, which does not speak well for what's going on today. Okay, and the truth is, he wasn't him. He wasn't making. That's the MS, and no one wants to come to believe it. Yet you would say that if this person leaves this world, so I mean, all right, he already died 2 years ago, right? He already died. Whatever it was. No, the term the Gemara used is shocking. This moment is Rabbi Yochanan was in such a matzav. Rabbi Yochanan was in such a matzav where he was not functional. And yet the term Chazal uses Kiboy Hashemesh Batsoharoyim. To us, doesn't that make sense to us on a simple level? No, it doesn't. I mean, what's the...
While the Tzaddik is alive, he creates a...
How does that work? So what does that mean exactly? What does that mean exactly? I hear what you're saying, but like... Obviously, there's something that we don't really understand.
Right.
If Chazal are using such powerful words, which are, I understand you want to say about Yoshio. Yoshio was the Melech. Yoshio was mamish on the verge of bringing Mashiach. And now he went out to a little battle. Big deal. He went out to a little battle. Who would imagine he would be killed in this battle? So it's taka sudden. And he was the greatest of the great. Okay, I understand. Kiboy Hashemesh Bat Soharoyim, I understand. But to say about Rabbi Yochanan, in his prime, yeah, I understand. Rabbi Yochanan was not in his prime. He was 120 years old. He was not well. He was extremely ill. And for the standards of the time, he was more than just extremely ill. And now came the Petira, and to use such terms, Kiboy Hashemesh Bat Soharoyim, It's obviously goes to show us that we're missing something. We really don't appreciate what it means to have amongst us Gidolei Yisrael, even when they are past their prime and they're not 100%. Look, Rav Gifter also was out of commission for a very long time. All right, let's go further. Pasik Yud in Mamore Chazal. I'm going to transform your festivals to mourning. How do you know this? Halacha? We mentioned this many times. Halacha is that an Ovel is not allowed to engage in Malacha. If an Ovel owns a business, he is not allowed to keep the business open during the 7 days of Avelos. It has to be either shut down or sold to a non-Jew. That is the Halacha. Okay, you have to like a shtar mechira, go to a rabbi, a shtar mechira, like you sell your chametz to a guy, you have to sell your business to someone else. It's not allowed to be under your ownership during the time of Avelos. What is the source for this halacha? What's the source? Avel also b'asis b'malacha, v'asim b'asim b'afachtachim v'eva, v'may chag also b'malacha, af avel also b'malacha. Just like the festival, it's also b'malacha, it is forbidden to engage in malacha, so to af avel also malacha, this is the source. Okay, everybody, so here you have it in print, v'afachti chagechem le'evel, a halacha that comes out of the pasuk. We compare avelus to the chag. Next halacha. Halacha Yosef, Rabbi Chiba Rabba, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak, Akila. What's Akila? Akila means in the hallway, the proizdar, Hakenisa, Labayis, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. Nafak Milsa began talking learning. Vestibule. They were sitting in their proizdar. This whole world is just one big proizdar, La'olam Haba. How do you know the basic halacha that avelus lasts for 7 days? It says, this is the pasuk. Machag shivas, just like the typical chag of Pesach and Sukkos is 7 days. Shmini atzeres, a yom tefifnei atzmai. Af avelus shiva. Frag the Gemara, why do you compare it to Pesach and Sukkos? Why not compare it to Shavuos, the Eimat Seres, the Chad Yoma, the Gemara says, no, we will only look to the Shlokish. The Shlokish, Meshuvah, Yudu Nisiyah, Minayin L'Shmur, Yuchaykash, Eina, and Echanami. Eina Chinami. We do compare Avelus to Shavuos. But again, what? Shmur, Yuchaykah. If a person finds out about the passing of one of seven closest relatives more than 30 days after their passing, how many days do they sit Shiva? 1 day. Called a Shemua Rechaika, a report that's Rechaik. It's Rechaik in Zman.
That's after 30 days.
Shemua Rechaik Megis Eilu Yomecha, the Siv, the Hafachti, Chagechem Le'evel. I will transform your festivals, Gesundheit, to mourning. The Ashkechon Atzeres, Dikri Chag, Shavuos is called a Chag, a festival, Chag Yoima, it's called Dikri Chag Yoima, Chag, it's called 1 day. So Enochinami. So all of the festivals are compared to mourning. Pesach and Sukkos is the typical mourning, 7 days, but Shavuos is 1 day, and that 1 day is in reference to the halacha Shmur Rechaika. A person finds out more, he gets word of the passing of a relative more than 7 days after that they're passing, he only sits Shiva for 1 day. We compare it to the Chag of Shavuos.
That is the actual reason, I mean, that we have Shiva, because Rabbi Alfred makes a point of saying that it's connected, God created the world in 7 days, and so when there's a loss of life,
it's, we mourn for 7 days. Tell me a Jewish, or Albert is probably saying a machshav,
yeah,
a Jewish, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course, but he is. That's what he said.
Yeah, yeah. But this is a Gemara Marika. This is the Makar. What?
Is it deliberate sometimes you just don't tell the person for 7 days?
Yes, there are many situations like that. What you're referring to, I think more common, is there's another halach. If you reinter a mace, then the person has to sit Shiva when they reinter the mace.
Right.
That's the halacha. So they got to take off from work, and they have to sit Shiva. So what they do, I don't know you hear about this, I don't know, it's the lechatchila, if a mace is being reinterred, the service that's doing this, the company or the chevra kadisha that is engaging in this service, usually the policies, they don't tell the people who hire them exactly when it's being done. They say it's going to be done in this month, sometime this month, next month, and after it's done, we'll give you a call.
When you get the bill.
When you get the bill, fine. So that, what is the advantage? The advantage is then you don't sit shiva at all, I think. You don't sit shiva at all, if I'm not mistaken. There's no shiva at all. Because it's not, the person already sat shiva, and there's just a general halacha that if you are aware that the bones of a relative are now being moved, they're being reinterred, during that period of time, you have to sit shiva when those bones are in transit. And that can be very disturbing to a person's life, for psychologically. It can be disturbing just financially. You're running a business, whatever it is, and you can't just... And so there's no inyan where you have to do it. It's if you happen to know about it, then you have to behave, you have to sit shiva. So they don't tell them. What? During that time period. I don't think it's a day, I think it's during the entire time period while the body is being transported. Let's say they take a body to Eretz Yisrael. It's a big process. It could take 2 days. Okay, they have to go and remove the body from the cemetery. And the body obviously have to do certain things, whatever they do, I don't know, and that takes time. And then they have to go on a plane, they have to schedule the flight, they probably already scheduled in advance. But it's not like, you know, every second is accounted for, it might be the next day. And then they have to go to the airport, they have to wait, and the plane might be delayed until the plane arrives in Eretz Yisrael, until the Chevra Kadisha receives the body, and they bury it. The process can easily take 3 days. So the person going to sit shiva for 3 days? So some people maybe want to sit shiva. Some people, they feel close to their relative. I'm willing, no problem. They'll take off from work. And some people say, I can't afford to do this. I can't, I don't have the time, I don't have this and that. And so then they don't tell them. They don't tell them, so they don't know. What you don't know is good for you. And then they tell them afterwards. And they tell them afterwards, it could be they sit shiva for a second. I don't know the halachas. An hour afterwards, mixas hayam kikula. But I think that mixas kikula, that's by Shmuel Chayka. So we're not discussing that. That's a different concept of where bones are reinterred. Let's discuss the concept of a person first finds out about the loss of a relative more than 30 days since their passing. So then they have an obligation to sit shiva for how long? 1 day. 1 day. Now, in 1 day, there's another principle called Mixas Hayoim Kikuloi. You only have to sit shiva for a few minutes. Okay, now questions. Sorry, off the topic. Sheva Brachas. How many days are there Sheva Brachas? 7 days. Do you apply the principle of Mixas Hayoim Kikuloi by Sheva Brachas? The last day of the person gets married. Let's say gets married on a Tuesday afternoon, make believe, Tuesday morning. So when is the last day of Sheva Brachos? Monday. So now it's Monday. So why don't we say that Monday morning, right after Shachris, Mixas Hayoim Kikuloi, the Sheva Brachos, the Tekufa of Sheva Brachos are over. No more parties. If you do make a party on Monday afternoon for lunch and you have panim chadoshes, you cannot make the sheva barachos. It would be a baracha livatola. So we apply the principle of nixas hayoim kikuloi to avelos, and we apply it to other inyanim as well. Why don't we apply it to the simchas of sheva brachos? You know the answer. It's a very good kash, very good topic for sheva brachos. You know the answer is, guess who came to the rescue? Came to the rescue to change the halacha for us. Lavan Harami. He wanted Yaakov to pay more money. He wanted you to shell out more money for another sheva brachos. What did he say to Yaakov Avinu? Male shavua zois. Chazal Darshan, male, mole. When it comes to Shavua, to the week, he gave him the wrong wife. He gave him Leah, not Rachel. Yaakov said, Zelo fair. I wanted to marry Rachel, not Leah. Okay, I'll give you Rachel also. But not today. Male Shavua Zois. First, let's finish the Shivas Yimei Mishteh. Lavan used the word male. Male means complete. It doesn't just mean finish off. Complete. And from that we learn that when it comes to the Shivas Yimei Mishteh, it has to be Shleimim. Complete. So I once said by Sheva Brachos, what's the Musa Haskel? The Musa Haskel is that when you start off, you gotta start off with Shleimus. Later in life, you can cut corners. But the beginning of your life together, Chosin and Kala, there's no shortcuts. The Sheva Brachos is there's no Mixas Hayah, Mixas. You get away with the whole day. I do a little bit, you'd say. That's not the way you start off, Chosin and Kala. Chosn and Kali have to start off with Shleimus. Male Shavua Zois. No, it's good Shevrachos, Torah. No, it's good Shevrachos. I told this to a very big critic. Guy, you know, guy, one of those guys, everything is no good. Yeshiva guys, you slug you up. And this he liked. He liked this so much that he said this over by his own child's Shevrachos. So it must be a good word if he actually said this Male. He was so fast. I showed this to him in the Sefer. He was so fascinated with this word, Male Shavua Zois, Shevrach, there's no din of Mixas Hayoim because of Male, yeah?
But you don't need Shevrach every night.
You don't need. But let's say you do. Let's say you do happen to make a Su'ud in honor of the Chosn and Kala. Right, you don't, absolutely not. It's a Mishigas. It's a Mishigas to make Shevrach every single day. Absolutely. You don't have to. If you happen to make, you want to make a Su'ud in honor of the Chosn and Kala, and you happen to have seven parim chadashos, then you make the brachas. But there's no obligation to make a suda shev brachas at all. It's only, but there are halachas, by the way, but there are nafgaminas. A chasan and kala are not allowed to go to work. They're not allowed to work for the during these shivas yimei mishteh. It's osur, forbidden for them to go and to abandon one another. So the question is, on that Monday morning, can he say to his kala, "See you later. I had enough of you already. Sitting with you for 6 days, I'm going out of my mind already. I got it. I need some change of scenery." Can he say that? I'm going to work. Can he say that to the Kala on day 6, day 7, after Shachris? No, he can't say that to her. He has to stay. We have to stick it out. Stick it out. Do the Shem Shamayim. I tell the people, all these people say that all the time, they say, you get married, l'shem shamayim. You get married, l'shem shamayim. I say, there's no such thing today in this world, in this generation, 2019, of getting married, l'shem shamayim. There is something, I believe you, staying married, l'shem shamayim. That I understand. But getting married, l'shem shamayim, who are you fooling? Come on. Okay, now, I want to tell you one very interesting halacha, and this is something which is a very big dilemma in halacha, to be aware of, is it's not so uncommon when people get up from Shiva on Shabbos. Okay, the last day of Shiva is Shabbos. So when exactly do they get up from Shiva? When exactly? Now, when a person gets up from Shiva during the weekday, there's a whole ceremony. He sits down, and the people say to him, "Get up." They say some nusach, I don't know what it is exactly. I don't know if there's a mukar for this. I have no idea. They say, "Get up." And he gets up, and everyone says together, "Maki minachim." On Shabbos, you don't do this. On Shabbos, you don't do this, but the person is still in avilus until the morning of Shabbos. Mixas hayoyim kikula. So when is the mixing kikula? So normally during the weekday, the minag yisrael is the mixing yom extends until after Shachris. Daven Shachris, you sit down for a minute or two, and then he gets up. What about on Shabbos? On Shabbos, when exactly does the Shiva end? Does it end after Shachris, before Kriyas HaTorah?
Friday night.
Or no, Friday night it does not. Mixing Kul, you have to have the whole night. Mixing Kul does not include the night. Mixas Hayem Kikulo includes the whole night plus part of the day. That's the halach. Why is it like that? I don't know, but that's how it is. It has to include the whole night and then part of the day. On a regular day, when does it include? The person gets up after Shachris. Shabbos Kodesh. When does the person get up? After Shachris or after Musaf? L'may Nafkamina, does he get an Aliyah? If the Avelus does not end until after Musaf, then the Ovel who's getting her from Shiva on Shabbos does not get an Aliyah. Just like an Ovel does not get an Aliyah during Avelus, that is the Halacha, an Ovel does not take an Aliyah during his Avelus. He's not allowed to learn. So you don't give him a bracha, you don't give him Kriyas HaTorah, it's Talmud Torah. So there's no learning. And even though on Shabbos there's no Avelus before his, but there is Avelus B'tzinah. So you don't go and do something out of the ordinary, unless every single Shabbos you get an Aliyah. If you're a Rebbe or a Rav and you get an Aliyah every single Shabbos, then you can get an Aliyah on Shabbos. But if you don't get an Aliyah every single Shabbos, then you don't get an Aliyah. Halachas, you don't get an Aliyah during the Avelus. So does the Ovel get an Aliyah on Shabbos when the Avelus is over? Mixes Hayam Gikuloi. Does it end after Shachris? So this is a major, major Machlekes HaPoskim. Halacha l'maisa, the minig is to follow the Shita after Musaf. The Avelus on Shabbos does not end until after Musaf is over. And therefore, the minig Yisrael is the Ovel does not get an Aliyah on Shabbos, even if it's, certainly the one is in the Avelus, and even if it's his last day, because the Avelus is not, the Mixas Hayoim Kikuloi extends until the end of Musaf. Okay, that's an important halacha to be aware of. Yeah. Yeah. You have a question?
Why does it need an aliyah right after he gets up?
I think there is an inyan to get, and you get a person gets an aliyah when there's a life change. So he's a new person. He's not the same person anymore. Every time a person goes through an experience, so you inaugurate your new position in life with the Torah. Everything in life revolves around the Torah HaKadosha. When a person goes through a life change, it has to be embraced. How do I deal with this new situation I'm in? I got a new job. I got married. I have a child. Bar mitzvah. I'm now a grandfather. Every time a person goes through a life change, how do I deal with this? You know how you deal with it? Look in the Torah. The Torah will tell you, it's an instruction book, it will tell you how to deal with this new matzav you're in, whether it's good or whether it's not so good, at least in your understanding. So in Ovel, after he comes out of Avelus, it's a traumatic experience. He's a new person. He's not the same person after going through the loss of a relative. He has to now deal with life. It's a whole new world. How do you deal? You get an aliyah. But when you're in it, during the Avelos, there's no time. You don't. That's already, it's like, you don't give nechama to a person. It's the same idea. Okay, we have to end over here, but one last, you're very important, you're telling this idea, very important, you said about the beginning, we're talking about there's no mixas hayom kikuloi by chosin and kala, because male, the beginning has to be complete, and based upon this, another beautiful idea, and that is a bar mitzvah boy. You probably all have grandchildren who are bar mitzvah age, so and so. There's a beautiful minug that a bar mitzvah boy, generally, who do you give the benching to? If you make a bar mitzvah bo bayom, which is very common, people make a bar mitzvah, they celebrate the bar mitzvah of the bar mitzvah boy bo bayom on the day when he becomes bar mitzvah, so they have a seudah, and you have a bread meal, and you wash, and you bench. Who do you give the benching to? It's posh, you give the benching to the bar mitzvah boy. You have a kais, right? You do it the right way. A seudah mitzvah, you have 10 people, l'choladeus. You have a kais shel bracha. Friday night, when you drink the kais shel bracha, Let's say when you really should always drink a kosher bracha. We don't do whatever, we don't always do it. But let's say you had a suda, we have a kosher bracha, and they mechabed you with benching. And you give the kosher bracha. And you bench. And benching is over. And what do you do when benching is over? Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Borei Pri Hagafen, right? And how much do you drink? So you l'chatchila, you're supposed to drink the whole kos. Can you imagine? That's what you're supposed to do, the whole kos. Nothing left over. If you don't want to drink the whole kais, drink a revius. No, not just a revius. Drink roiv kais, which will include a revius. You double revius. If you have a big kais, drink roiv kais. If you don't want to drink roiv kais, at least drink a revius, 3 ounces, so you can recite an alagafen. B'di'eved, if you don't want to recite an alagafen, You tell him, you make a team by your taste. It shouldn't be bracha levatola, right? You say bar pri agafen. It shouldn't be bracha levatola. So at least we tell him a little bit. You won't make it ala gafen. Let's say you don't want to drink altogether. You can probably find opinions that say it's okay not to drink altogether. The bracha bar pri agafen. No, you don't make the bracha by shalosh. You don't make the bar pri agafen. You don't make the bar pri agafen. But can you make a bar pri agafen when you finish benching and not drink at all? No, you shouldn't do it. That's not sure. For sure. But if a person does it, can you say he made a bracha levatala? No, you can't say it's a bracha levatala. That's an exception. Not according to everyone. There are different opinions on that. Most minhag Yisrael is that's the only exception when you make the bar pri agafen and you drink even though it's before Avdallah. That's an exception. But not everyone follows that opinion. I once was by a shal l'shudis, and the rabbi, you know, you go to a shul, you have to, there's a rabbi. And whatever the rabbi says, you do, whether you like it or not.
Don't fight
with the rabbi. It's a tremendous disrespect. And the rabbi said, the minhag here, from time immemorial, by the shal l'shudis in shul is, we've had many times, we've been blessed, chasen and kala, you make a bar pri agafen, and you drink. You drink, you give to the chasen and kala, I've got all the Torah, why it's different. That's what you do. There are other minhagim. And the guy says, no, I don't care. Couldn't care less, Rabbi, what you do. I'm doing what I want to do. We're not drinking it.
That's the father of
one of the sides. The rabbi just didn't say anything. I was like shocked. Like, what a machutzif. You're a guest here. This is not your place. You won't have a shalshus. You know, in Rome, you do like the Romans. This what kind of chutzpah? The rabbi tells you what to do something. You go, not my minhag, I don't care, I'm not listening to you. Well, that's the minhag here. Look, listen, that's the way the world goes. But that's not it. So now, let us say, for argument's sake, you make a bar pri agafen after benching on a Friday night and you don't drink from the wine. Is that a bracha levatala? You should never do that. You should drink at least a little bit. But it's not necessarily a bracha levatala. Because the bracha bar pri agafen is also viewed as a birchas hashevach. It's a symbolic bracha. Okay, don't try that at home, but you can't say it's a bracha levatala. Okay, so you should at least drink the revius, right? How many people Friday night drink the whole kois?
Regular
Friday night. Friday night, you have a big meal and you bench ala kois. How many people drink the whole kois? You drink the whole course. Baruch Hashem is a brach. Okay? Many people, they'll drink roif, they'll drink little revius, this, that. A bar mitzvah boy, you tell the bar mitzvah boy, this is the first time you're benching. It's the first time, the mitzvah de'oraisa to bench birchas hamazon. Na chazal mitzachin, you should bench ala kais. The first time in your life, do it right. Don't look for coolers. If you're the bar mitzvah boy and you're getting benching on your bar mitzvah and we're giving you a kois of grape juice or even wine, whatever you give him, do it right for once in your life. The beginning counts. You do it right. You drink the whole kois down to the last drop.
I wonder if they do it on grape juice on purpose.
Right, exactly. Give him grape juice. Absolutely. It's something to appreciate that when you start off something, you start off b'shleimus. The sheva brachas, there's no mixas hayoyim kikuloi, because it's the beginning. In the beginning of a relationship, malei shavua zois. Shleimus. A bar mitzvah boy, you give him to bench on the night of his bar mitzvah, shleimus. You know who said this? The bells are off. He said this. The bells are off. I've Aaron. Shleimus, the first kois. I know all the coolest. I'm very well aware of all the coolest. But it's the haschola has to be b'shleimus. Okay, we'll stop here. Take a very short break.
Boy, who is bar mitzvah is Shabbos.
Yes. Yes, we paskin that the day of his bar mitzvah, he's already bar mitzvah from Shkia Sacham. There are three, you think very good, there are really three opinions as to when a person is bar mitzvah. If you know the exact moment when he was born, so say that that moment. Or you say it's the day before. Really, it's the day before. Think about it.
Right.
The day before is the bar. If you're born on Zion Adar, So when is the birthday? Vav. Right? Doesn't that make sense? That's why it's called 13 and 1 years and 1 day. And if you want to go 1 day, you should be precise, the exact moment, not the night before. We follow a very funny Shiva. We follow 13 years in 1 day, but from the night before. It's a funny halacha, but that's how we pass it.
To sit Shiva on Shabbos?
No, on Shabbos you can't sit Shiva. People can come visit. You don't sit formally Shiva.
Oh, you don't.
But if you know a person who is sitting Shiva, and now it's Shabbos, it is a mitzvah to go to him on Shabbos and to give him comfort.
But he's sitting Shiva.
He's sitting Shiva on Shabbos. Yeah. He doesn't sit on the floor. He wears regular shoes. He sits in a regular chair. There is a mitzvah to be minah, and there's a nusach. You don't say hamokim minachem. You say Shabbos he minachemtem. May Shabbos be for you on the chama. There's a special nusach that you say to him on Shabbos.
So is he sitting Shiva?
Yes, he is.
He's still sitting still? He doesn't go to shul?
Well, he doesn't. He does go to shul. There's something called, there's no avelus. There's a difference between sitting Shiva and Avelus. On Shabbos, there's no Avelus, but it doesn't mean that there's no mitzvah of Nichum Avel. He doesn't mean he's not an Ovel.
He doesn't get up right before Shabbos like everybody does. Friday, I've gone to a number of people get up right before. I always thought they got up because they Shiva, there's no Shiva on Shabbos. But they
even the last day of Shabbos?
No. Friday, we're talking about the last day.
Oh, when Friday would have been scheduled to be the last day.
Yeah.
Let's say
Shabbos was going to be scheduled to be the last day.
And Shabbos was scheduled to be the last day. So he's basically an Ovel until after Musaf.
He is.
And after Musaf, his Avelus is over.
So Friday, Erev Shabbos, everybody goes to the house.
Right.
And he gets up. And
he doesn't get up.
The block.
He doesn't get
he's
up.
Not,
no, he does not walk around the block. Definitely
no.
not.
So Shabbos is.
Definitely not.
So when does he get up? When does he officially
he doesn't do
get
that.
Up?
He doesn't do that. There is no getting up.
There is no getting.
You don't do that.
Oh, wow.
You don't do that. Why not?
Yeah.
Because it's Shabbos. There's a lot of time. Shabbos itself is what gets him up.
So,
you don't walk around the block.
I've never in my life seen somebody.
There's no walking around the block. And there's no getting up.
It's a whole different.
It's a very. It's right. It's a very quiet.
Wow.
The end is very silent. It's a very, very private end.
Wow, that's something.
It's a whole different. It's a whole different type of.
Right.
I recall you telling us that there's a. It was somebody who wrote a sefer all about between the Satan Rebbe.
Yes,
and
it's so funny you say this to me.
No. I think he wrote another sefer.
Putner.
Yeah.
It's coming out.
You saw that.
I can't wait for it to come out.
You,